Welcome to Talking Volleyball. I'm Steve Hammond. PJ Leroy and I talk with coaches, players, and others who have a love for the game. Michael Gomez joins us for volleyball, sports, and life from another perspective. After a 20-year jaunt in the corporate world at Sony Electronics, Michael shifted his focus. He discovered photography at Sony and spent his free time shooting anyone willing to be photographed. That led him to explore everything from weddings to portraits to family photos. But there's another dynamic, his volleyball life, from high school to college and the pros. BJ met Michael where his volleyball and photography passions meet, on the sand and on the court. We'll talk about that and Michael's upcoming work at the Paris Olympics. It's a fascinating look at passion and work life.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, how you doing? Sorry, I got a little background noise going here. So, it's all these things going at once. So, you said 3 degrees, huh? So, I hear you're going to get a warming trend, but not too soon yet.
Yeah. All the way up to 3. Sean Manzi always says, when you start talking about the weather, the conversation is over. So, we probably shouldn't start with that.
And those of you in Celsius, it's not 3 Celsius.
No, we're negative 15 or so, maybe 12.
Nice.
12, yeah, somewhere in there. He's not, Sean's not watching, so we don't have to convert to Canadian.
Canadian, I love that. So anyway, what's going on in your world? You must, you're not doing boys this year, are you?
No. Our boys are in the fall. Okay. So we're at the same time. So I rarely get to see them, which I would love to. I'd love to see them play a little bit more. We get our boys and girls playing against each other some.
Okay.
And that reminds me, I got to take a quick note. I would like to mix them. Right now we play boys versus girls, but I would like to get them playing co-ed, which I did yesterday, and it hurts to blink today.
Well, yeah, that's right. We hadn't talked. I'm probably going to get a knee scope pretty quick. Finally went into the orthopedic guy, and he's like, yeah, let's get an MRI, but we're probably going to be cleaning that out. So
let's get our guest on.
Let's do that.
Today we're talking with probably somebody that most volleyball people don't recognize the name, but you've seen his work if you have been paying attention to volleyball, and that's Michael Gomez. I would say, if I had to, probably our premier photographer in the volleyball world. A little different for us because we usually talk to coaches, but this is a great opportunity to hear some stories about volleyball and where he's headed in the near future, which will be fun to talk about as well. So let's get him on, Steve.
All right, here we go. There he is.
There he is. Morning. Beautiful Chicago. Hey, Michael.
Beautiful day. Good morning.
That is, for an apartment, that's pretty nice view for a city view. That's fantastic.
I'm very fortunate. Yeah, that was a bit of a selling point. When I walked in, I'm like, I'm taking this. It's glorious, whether it's daytime, nighttime, just sitting out on my balcony. It's great because it really encapsulates, you know, what it's like living downtown in a metropolitan city, which I always wanted to do as a young kid. And I landed here. So it's working out.
This is a big question in Chicago, of course, or any big city. What floor are you on?
11. I'm on 11, which is, there's 18 floors in my building. And then of course there's others that are much, much higher. But this is a nice, comfortable spot for sure.
Yeah, that's really nice. Listen, the first question we usually ask everybody is, how did you get started in your volleyball journey? But I think for us, speaking to a photographer, photojournalist, tell us how you got started into photography, and then we'll get into the volleyball side.
Fantastic. Yes. Okay. It was around 2012, 2013. I was in my mid to late 30s, and I started to decide, like, do I really want to commit to this training to be able to compete at a high level here at the local Chicago tournaments against guys half my age? And I decided I was going to stop, and thus I had a lot of free time, you know, because there's the eating well, there's the getting up early, there's the training. So one thing I always enjoyed doing was taking pictures. I didn't know how to use a camera. I just would fire. I was the guy who would always take pictures in your group, and there were times where people would be like, okay. And then later that night, they'd be like, do you got that photo you took of me? I'm like, okay. But anyway, so I had strong relationships with a lot of the local high-level players here, professionals. And at the time, that's when the PVL, Professional Volleyball League, had started. Great Lakes Lightning, Team Pineapple, yep. Lloyd Ball over there in Indiana. And I knew all the guys because I'd been playing with them. So I started following them around because I still wanted to be around volleyball, but I was really trying this photography thing. And, you know, I started to essentially follow the guys around whenever they played, the girls as well. And that was really my opportunity to practice. This all kind of started though, or I should say, I was still shooting auto though at the beginning. Interestingly enough, I teach a class called Getting Out of Auto. But I finally said, okay, I need to figure out full manual because my shots, I always had good composition, but you know, my shutter speed was too slow, whatever. And I didn't understand why it was blurry. So I went to Spain, Christmas of 2014. I was working at, Sony at the time. And this is when they recently started mirrorless, the push. And they gave me basically their latest and greatest camera, a full frame A7. I grabbed a couple of lenses and I took a 3-week trip to Spain. And that's where I started my journey technically from shooting in manual. And I basically would take shoot in auto and then see what the computer said, what the settings were. And then I would manually dial those in. And that sort of took me down the path. But I also learned that the computer is just trying to get even exposure. It doesn't know what the type of shot I'm trying to create. So if I'm really trying to isolate somebody and really blur out the background, the computer didn't know that. It was just trying to get everything to zero, even exposure. And that took time, learning aperture, essentially. And so I continued on. That was a great experience in Spain. And I continued following the PVL teams. Eventually, because I would play beach, if you're from Chicago, North Avenue Beach, you know, Court B, B1. Yeah, all the guys. I mean, all the, you know, Rafi and all those guys down in, you know, in the South Bay now, if you're from the Midwest, you competed there. And so I, through relationships, and this is a big part of why I'm here, is because of relationships. Always, I'll say that. But a friend of mine knew one of the players on the AVP. And because I was like, how do I get a credential to shoot in AVP? Because the AVP Wisconsin, AVP Wisco 2014, I believe it was. Yeah. Russ Marchuka. If you know, you know. Marchuka, they would say. I connected with him. He talked to some people and I got my credential and I shot the AVP Wisconsin. And then I got another opportunity for the AVP Championships. At that year was 2014 in Huntington Beach. And I got a credential for that as well too. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I had my little, you know, where the, you know, photographers sit, and I had, Sony was giving me all this gear because they just said, take it, you know. And that's another advantage that I have that I didn't know I had was, you know, I was getting a lot of gear because that's the thing. Everybody wants this really expensive gear, but when they see the price, it's like heart attack. So I'm grateful to Sony. I will always be grateful for Sony. But yeah, so I started shooting beach. That was my second beach event. And then, you know, the next year came around. I applied for another credential. That's when I met Ed Chan at Waupaca. And if you're from the Midwest, yeah, or frankly, from the United States, if you play volleyball, you need to go to Waupaca at least once. And I can guarantee you you're probably going to go back again.
Or 2010.
I met Ed Chan. Yes, yes. It's basically a staple of everyone's summer, basically. It's such a great event. And everybody who puts it together, they're just great people. And it's truly one of the remaining grassroots events that hasn't, you know, really taken on any bigger corporate support, what have you. But I met Ed Chan. And you know, I met him and I knew who he was. And I was like, I love your stuff. And he's like, I've been looking at your stuff. I'm really impressed, this and the other. And I asked him, I said, how, you know, is there a way that, does Volleyball Mag accept contributors, you know? And that was my big doorway into accessing into events. How do you get credentials? But you have to establish yourself first. You need a portfolio of some sort. And then relationships, you know? Ed would ask me, hey, do you want to go shoot the NCAA Women's Championship? And I was like, yeah. And that was 2018, yeah, in Minnesota, which this past year was in Tampa. And the one year, yeah, I don't go, it's somewhere where I didn't freeze because, you know, it's always in like Omaha or Columbus or Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, I started accepting a lot of these opportunities and we just started building this great relationship with Ed, especially with Ed and with Volleyball Mag. And then I just kept getting access to a lot of these events and just kept shooting because I loved it. I loved it. It was, you know, I don't do corporate sales anymore. I enjoyed the products, I enjoyed the people, but I hated the actual job. And that's kind of what kicked me out of that sector and went freelance. But, you know, Ed gave me a lot of opportunities and, you know, we went to many, 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 many events around the country. And then we went abroad with Mark Rigney. The three of us went to Germany, you know, to cover World Championships in 2019. We were planning on going to that big event in Cancun, the decider for the Olympics for Tokyo, which we all know what happened in 2020. Interestingly enough, I was looking at our messages that I had. Your messages with individuals are archived, and I was reviewing that from Ed, and I remember the dialogue we were having, and we're talking about, and you know, well, is it? We don't know if it's that bad, and the virus may not do well in warm temperatures, so we may hiss. Everything obviously just shut down, but yeah, and I just kept shooting. I just kept shooting and failing a lot, but also learning a lot. And then more and more opportunities presented themselves. And then there were some, you know, the world tour. And what's interesting is each time I got to shoot at the next level, I was so excited. And I didn't think like, my understanding of volleyball, you know, here with the top players and then the AVP and then my first FIVB, I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Like if you haven't watched an FIVB, like Elite 16, back then it was a 4 or 5 star. It's fantastic. And I've sat front row and center to some incredible matches, not just with between the players, but with the audience. Those Fort Lauderdale events were something else. One of the best matches I've ever seen was Phil and Nick against, what's his name, Bruno and Alisson, which right, everybody wanted to see at the Rio Olympics, but because of the way their seedings, the finals ended up being the quarterfinals, and so we all know what happened after that. But that match was incredible because the energy of the people, you know, because Fort Lauderdale, you have the diversity with the cultures and people knew volleyball. It's basically volleyball outside of the U.S. If you've ever been able to watch volleyball, like in Poland, Germany for the World Championships, the final, the line when we drove up, the line was way around the building because it was Germany and Russia at the time. And just to be a part of that, that's the thing. Like, this whole journey, I didn't plan it. I didn't study. I didn't say, I want to go to school for this and I need to read this. And I just did it out of pure passion. I stumbled upon it, if you will. And again, it was because I stopped playing and I just substituted that. So I'm still kind of playing because I was a setter. And, you know, people say like, oh, volleyball is very hard to shoot. It's way easy for me. Probably because I played and I was a setter. And I can anticipate a lot. So, you know, when I was shooting the regional final in Wisconsin, Oregon and Wisconsin, and, you know, there's particular scenarios and plays. And having played the game, especially as a setter, I, you know, subconsciously say, okay, well, here's what's been happening. Here are the players. Here where they are. This is probably what I would do. And 80 to 85%, maybe 90%. I often guess right, and it gives me an opportunity to get to the spot, unless I'm just locking in on a particular player. But yeah, that's the photography journey. And like I said, Sony is a huge part of that because they would give me all the resources I needed. And, you know, what's interesting is that my coworker who I started with on my very first assignment, which I joined Sony as a market rep, and my first assignment was to go to Sturgis. You guys familiar with Sturgis?
Oh. Yeah, oh yeah.
It's an experience. And I tell you, after working there for 12 days straight, I didn't want to hear a motorcycle for like a month. It was, yeah. But my colleague who was based in Dallas, because I was part of the central team, Van, I developed a strong relationship with him. And interestingly enough, he transitioned over to Sony Pro Support, which is the team that supports Sony digital imaging photography. He is going to be in Paris, so I'm going to get to see him. It's weird. Oh, it comes kind of full circle, if you will. So that's kind of the photography journey. I'm living it every day. It wasn't planned. Oh, and recently this past year, I had accepted an opportunity, at the University of Illinois Chicago. I'm a staff photographer there. And interestingly enough, I don't shoot much sports. If anything, I shoot everything else. A lot of headshots, a lot of corporate events, just a lot of event photography, which I love. And so now my day, my week, my month is everything is just around photography. So I'm far from rich, but I feel like I won the lottery because I get to get up every day and go do photography. That's how I'm judged. That's how I'm graded. That's how I'm paid. And I still get to do like my freelance clients. I'm able to be selective now with my clients. But if you would have told me back in 2012, 2013, when I picked up the camera, that in 10 years, I'd be a professional photographer and I wouldn't be in corporate sales and I'd be a staff photographer for a university in Chicago, I'd be like, you are nuts. Let alone the big, big, you know, thing that's going to be happening this summer. It's a dream come true. And I don't know, it's super wild though, for sure.
It's amazing.
You know, serendipity is one of my favorite words, and you got plenty of it. I mean, what's the likelihood you're working for, you know, to be fair, Sony's probably, if not number one, one of the top two sports photography focused organizations. I mean, you know, you're seeing me on a Panasonic right now, and I don't dare let it autofocus, you know, right? And so
Dita D autofocus. It's that, yeah. It's a great camera, but their autofocus is, yeah.
Yeah, my second camera over here is a Sony, but it's like, okay, that's the one I let autofocus. But
you know what I say though, University of Illinois Chicago, they use all Canon. So one of the questions during the interview process was, you know, what do you think of Canon, or do you think Canon's the best, whatever. And I didn't know that it was a question that they were really trying to see what my answer would be. But I said, they're just tools. I mean, they're just tools. I mean, if there's a carpenter who's using Stanley equipment, and then there's another one who's using, what is that, Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Does that mean one carpenter is better than the other? No. I mean,
but you need to know what the best thing each tool does is and how to use it.
True. And that's what I teach is don't go, a brand doesn't, you know, designate whether you're good or not. And I remember back at the AVP Wisconsin, my friend, my dear friend, Carrie Hsu, she was a former AVP Wisconsin player. Yeah. You know, Carrie. And this is America, by the way, this, or I should say just the perception of how marketing works. But I was using Sony and she texted me and we were having this conversation. She's like, why don't you shoot Canon? Why doesn't everybody shoot Canon? And when I think back on that, that's because, again, marketing, when you know, a lot of people won't ever go beyond what they're seeing a lot of. Well, if I see that, I see a lot of people that must be the best one. But, you know, even this Sony camera doesn't, you know, compose a shot. It doesn't, you know, dial in the settings. It doesn't do it for you. You still have to learn. So when I answered the question, I said, they're just tools. And I said, a good photographer knows how to use any camera. It's not. And they told me later they were very, you know, they liked that answer because, you know, it's if you could only shoot with one brand, you're very one dimensional. So I'm learning so much at UIC. There's other aspects, different types of photography that I'm working with a great team of creatives. And I get to learn a whole new language, but I still, you know, use my gear. I've been able to get this from Sony at a very, very great price. And quite frankly, any photographer who was offered the stuff that I have been offered at the price I've been offered, I think they'd have a hard time saying no. But yeah, to your point, it's understanding your gear, understanding the limitations. So like Canon, there are some cameras that I would use for like general photography, but for sports, I would only use their R3. I wouldn't use the R5 or the R6. I dive into that in other topics or what have you, but how do I know that? Because I actually use them. I actually use them and I understand what the limitations are. And so it's not just the brand. It's understanding the nuances and the idiosyncrasies. And that's what I've learned over those 10 odd years is those nuances and those idiosyncrasies. I'm in that volleyball moms group and there's a lot of questions that want an answer, but it's not a simple answer. It is such a, there's so much behind that answer. And quite frankly, if I tell you that answer and I don't tell you why or how, I feel like I'm doing you a disservice, you know, because when it happens, you're just going to be like, yeah, but why?
Like, why did this happen? A lot of it depends, right?
Mm-hmm. There's so many variables. And my experience, my years of experiences is why I sell now I do subscriptions on Instagram, what have you. Because over the years before subscriptions, people, I've had so many messages asking me questions. And as you can tell, I like to chat. I would end up talking to somebody for like a half an hour, 45 minutes about a simple question because I loved photography. I wanted to help them understand and they are incredibly grateful. I get these messages sometimes, which is also really wild is, you know, I want to thank you. You've inspired me to, you know, dive into photography, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, what? Like me? Like my Instagram account, I did that because everybody else did. You know, I didn't, you know, these shots that I have here, that's Enrico Rossi, a good friend from Italy. That's captured by the late, great Ed Chan at the Florida Major, good old Betsy laying out at the FIVB there.
She is in that shot. She's all out. I mean, she has done everything to get to that ball.
Yeah.
And you've captured
100%. Yeah, and then we have here a great moment, Team USA, most recently last year. That was my first time being able to shoot, you know, at arguably the Olympic level, which is the World Tour. I mean, a lot of these players are going to be on the Olympic team, but the national team, if you will. You know, being able to help people. That Instagram, I remember I made it and I didn't know what to call it. So I just said Michael Gomez Photography. And I was like super insecure. I take a photo and be like, okay, well, you know, I don't, is anybody going to like this, let alone follow me? Like, ugh. And, you know, I'm at what, 10,600 some followers. That is wild. Like, again, if you would have told me when I made that, and a lot of people have told me, I'm always waiting for what you're going to post because it's going to be something that's going to be like, wow, you know, what have you. And I'm just shooting because I, you know, I love it. And, but I'm fueled by that. You know what I mean? Like, there is an audience that appreciates it and loves it. And this is how I see the game. If you like it, great. If not, you know, it's no worries, but it's just been such a crazy ride.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is you have to tell, you're, in most cases, you're taking a still, but you're telling a story with that still. So you have to frame it. You have to know the story that you want to tell. And then you're kind of hoping that that shot comes to you, right? That the right moment happens. And if you can capture that, that's got to be just a thrill every time.
It was my holy grail shot is from the major in Fort Lauderdale, Barbara from Brazil. It was the gold medal final against Brooke Sweat and Summer. Yeah. And I was positioned in a perfect spot. And I was watching it. It was a rally. Brooke was right side on my left here, and Barbara was playing over here with Fernanda. Anyway, the rally was happening, and I just said, okay, she's probably going to shoot Brooke because the set was there. And so I cheated, and I saw Barbara break and was able to...
Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh,
get that shot. That. Which, if you really look closely, the ball, the lettering, everything, that's luck. Yeah. That part is
that's
luck.
That's like Tiger Woods rolling the Nike ball into 16 of the Masters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so my experience from the game plus being in the right place at the right time, and I was lucky to be in that spot. And there's a lot of shots that I've gotten lucky in the terms of, in the sense of being in the place for that shot, like that shot of Betsy. I was probably just, you know, one spot over or somewhere else. And I just have, so there's a lot of luck or timing or what have you, luck, but you have to be ready. You have to be ready. You have to have your camera dialed in. You know, you have to sort of see the game, understand the game, anticipate, etc. That will help you land those shots that you want. And then you're going to land some that you didn't plan on it, but you were in the right place at the right time. You were prepared. And I still try to beat that shot from, that's my holy grail to this day. And that's who I go to compete against at these events is myself. That's what I love, what I do. Is can I better that? And I came close this past year. I came close. And again, I have my high standards there, but there are people who often ask me, you know, do you think you're better than this, that, or this person, what have you? And I say, well, I'll tell you right now, they make me better. Hmm. There's a difference. They make me better. They make me want to be better, because at the end of the day, this is art. It's not like, you know, it's not like I could do, it's not like I could do more push-ups. I didn't, you know, I've had 25, you know what I mean? It's art. So it's not really a competition. It's really a competition with yourself, but there's a lot of creatives out there, who motivate me, you know, because they put out really, really great stuff. So,
you know, that'd be a great concept to bring across to coaching. Because what you're really talking about, I think, is these people inspire you, right? You're not trying to compete with them. You go, look at what they did, and I wonder what I can learn from that. Not like I can do that, but what can I learn from that that I can apply into my art and my skill and set? And that's, I'm going to borrow that for my boys, guys who are coming along, because I think it inspiring, you know, we don't talk about our players, at least in my program, we don't talk about them as our enemies. They're our colleagues. They're our, you know, they should be our friends, you know, such as a friend would be, because sometimes there's just people that you don't click with, but that's not on the court. On the court, they're just there to make you better.
Right. Precisely. And to kind of maybe segue into the volleyball side of things, when I played, a lot of guys would tell me they loved playing with me against me because I brought the best out of them. I didn't know how to just have fun. Even at like family picnics.
Yeah.
I remember I was, it was probably a girls' height net, and you know, I was young and I could jump, and it was a family picnic. But my older sister sent me this ball, and I couldn't just leave it there. I detonated on that thing, and it ricocheted off my dad's forearm and hit my older sister's godfather, knocked him over onto the ground. And I still remember his comb over falling over, and he was like, "Wow, that was fantastic." And my sister was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What? Like, that was a perfect set. How do you expect me to like?" But that's how I was when I played. I played to win. I expected you to bring your game. And then afterward, to your point, Steve, is let's have fun. Let's talk. Let's have a beer, whatever. But that's how I see a lot of sports, like the football games last night. Oh, who's the better, you know, whatever. They make each other better. They all these professional athletes. I mean, you could look at stats and have those debates, but at the end of the day, I think we're all blessed to have people who have worked hard and are gifted to be able to bring the best out of each other for entertainment purposes. So for volleyball, if I can kind of segue how the volleyball thing started. Yeah. 1987, I was seventh grade. I played volleyball in the gym class, and then I tried out for the seventh grade team, and I was cut. Thank you, Mr. Biter.
And then look at me now. Remember those.
Well, it's funny because he just texted me last month because his son, George, who I have a great relationship with. He played at a rival high school. He was older than me, though. But anyway, Mr. Biter was the eighth grade English teacher, and he was the coach. But he was also coach of men's varsity at the high school level. And I got cut. I then, you know, eighth grade came around. And so we played volleyball in the fall. So that summer, just, you know, did a summer thing, whatever. And then that fall, I went with one of my friends to try out for the JV team. You're allowed to at eighth grade. You know, they took on, if you were good enough, I guess, they would take on some eighth graders. Probably also to help, you know, keep the pipeline full, if you will. But obviously you had to have something. But I made it. I made the cut. I still remember walking up to the gym and I was like, wow, yes. So I made JV, played the JV that year, which was really cool because you'd have to take the eighth grade bus over to the high school. And I was like, yeah, I'm big time now.
Right. That's cool.
that was huge. And then, you know, then that following year and the following spring, I automatically made the eighth grade team. You know, Mr. Biter was like, no, you guys are on because you've already had a season at JV at a higher level. And then I played JV, and you know, I got to ninth grade, played JV, 10th grade, played JV, 10th grade. It's funny because I lost I think it was the spring of my sophomore year. I was overweight. I was a heavy set kid. I dropped about 50 pounds in the spring. And I asked my coach, what are the, seriously, it was
you're
a complete,
a little guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to lose that much weight when you're 16 than it is now. Yeah. But I asked my coach, I said, what do I need to do to make varsity as a sophomore? So it was my freshman year that I lost the weight then. And he said, well, you got to go to camp, you know, volleyball camp, which at the time was Cortland camp. And we had all the D1 Penn State, Ohio State players who would come in and do coaching. I remember, I don't know if you know who Lang Ping is. Great
Chinese
player.
She was my core coach. She was one of my core coaches. She taught me that incredible float side saw. Yeah. I didn't know really who she was. It's just, you know, but now I do. Oh, it's funny. So I had a lot of, it was a great program.
One of the world's best players, and you don't know who she is.
There was this guy, Carl McGown. He just happened to be there.
So went to camp. I lost the weight. I didn't make varsity, but I stayed, you know, I played JV, and then varsity made playoffs. We got pulled up, me and my two friends, we got pulled up. Extra players, what have you. And then, you know, my junior year, we won the first state championship in New York because I think the Long Island teams or what have you, they were playing in the fall and then they moved. And then the first state championship we won. We were the team of the month in Volleyball Mag. Volleyball Monthly.
It was Volleyball Monthly then, yeah.
Correct. It was Volleyball Monthly. We were the team of the month because at the back, the last page, you would see who were the teams of the month. I still have that photo. I can share it. But yeah, we were a great team. My middle, Neil, went to Long Beach State. And then I played club at Eden Volleyball Club. You probably heard of them or out of Western New York. And, you know, a lot of the guys I played with went on to play, you know, D1. Here's my challenge. And there's a life lesson that I learned that's kind of coming back full circle, but maybe you can share with, you know, smaller athletes who, all my friends were like 6'4" and taller, you know, and I was 5'8" at best. And I remember it was a tournament somewhere in Albany or in the coach from USC at the time, came out to recruit my friend, Steve Loswick, who became the 4-year starter at USC because he's 6'4", long, lanky arms. He was that kid who was like 150 pounds dripping wet. He had to wear like extra shorts because the shorts, you know, he was. And I remember playing and the coach, I had sat down with the coach and he said, Mike, I love everything about your game. I love your leadership. I love your passion, you know, everything. He's like, I just wish you were taller. I just wish you were like 7 inches taller, you know? And, that's tough to hear when you're 18 and your identity is volleyball, is a sport.
Yeah.
So I ended up staying local because I got letters from Penn State and Ohio State. I would have back then it was 3 games. It was no libero. Sure. It was middles had to pass. No overhand serves. Games changed quite a bit. I still remember that little hash mark. You had to serve within the back line. Yeah.
If you know, you know.
yeah. The gray hair. You have to have gray hair to know what I'm talking about.
A little bit.
But I never got to. You know, I would have gone in for cleanup, basically. Third games, 5 points left. That's probably what my role would have been. So I stayed local. I went to SUNY Buffalo, played club ball, got to play full time, got to play against high level ball. It was satisfying for sure. But I always felt I should be somewhere else, and it was tough. It was tough to really, you know, deal with, and it did impact me mentally, emotionally. So I never got to experience an NCAA. Division One season tournament final four. My best friend who went to Ohio State the next year, that was 93, I believe they went to 92 and then 93 season. They went to the Final Four that year. So he got to experience that. I got to live vicariously through it with him, but I never got to experiencing that. I never made an EVP. I played beach. I never qualified for a main draw, let alone FIVB. You know, main draw, what have you. But, and again, that was very difficult because it was everything that I wanted to do. I was very good at volleyball. Academics, I didn't apply myself as much as I did to sports, but I did enough, what have you. But anyway, it was a big letdown. So all those things I didn't get to experience as an actual player, but I've covered every single one of those events as a photographer. I've had front row seats to NCAA men's, NCAA women's, AVPs, you name it, FIVBs, world, you know, big stops, world championships. And, you know, I remember in 88 when I was on the couch watching Karch and Stavrtlik and Stork, one of my favorite setters, him and Javier Gaspar from Penn State. You know, watching that team, Buck, Karch winning gold, Eric Sato when he did the jump serve, the running, Timmons.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, that would be such a dream, you know. And now I'm going to the Olympics. It's weird.
That's the amazing part to me. And right before we get into the Olympic discussion, just because we've had a couple of AVP players on, what's your favorite? Where do you love to shoot the AVP? Like, what's the one that you really enjoy? I mean, Chicago, let's set that aside because you're there now.
Yeah.
But where do you like to, if you hear, I'm going to this one, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago, obviously, because I could walk there if I had to. So convenience is really nice. And I mean, Manhattan is Manhattan, of course.
Yeah.
I also feel that's sort of, I feel like that's sort of like Chicago for me, because that's kind of easy to say. But the one that I liked a lot that really stood out is New York City. I know it's going to sound weird because they only stopped there like twice. But New York City was a great event. It was a great, 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 great time. And I never made it to Seattle or the San Francisco stop. But, you know, again, Manhattan for sure.
It's funny you bring those up because we had Billy Allen on a couple weeks ago, and they had a really good showing in New York a couple of years ago. I think, I don't know if it was the first or the second one, but they're having a good showing. And I sent them a note, and we don't really know each other, you know, just very passively acquaintances. I sent them a note like, hey, things are going great. You guys made the semi or whatever. And I get a message back from him. I'm like, what are you doing sending me a message? Get back to studying what you're doing. But then you brought up Seattle, where he's won a couple of times, which, you know, we were teasing him when he was on. You finally won another tournament outside of Seattle.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, yeah, Billy, love Billy.
That's what I was going to bring up, I guess, is the relationships you have with the players. You have to get to know some of them. But you have to shoot them. You also have to shoot them honestly. So it's that I think it's hard for the print journalists, because they have to sometimes write the truth, but you're showing what's actually happening, you know?
Yes.
So this, it could be their best or their worst moment, and you got to show it. So how does that dynamic work?
Great question. And as I mentioned, relationships, because when I started this, you know, interestingly enough, and a lot of people don't know this, but I only started getting paid in 2022. That's what, like 9 years later. And, you know, fun fact for a lot of the athletes, the majority, and I mean like 90% category, don't get paid. Do this because we love the sport, just for pure passion for the sport. And kudos to everybody who continues to push. But you know, when I started out, you know what I did was I had vacation time, so I picked a Florida, obviously because winter in Chicago. But I went down there and I actually reached out to some athletes over Instagram and said I'd love to come by your practice to shoot. And I.
Yeah.
Established That's relationships really... there. That's, yeah, that was 2014, 2015, I think, that winter. That's when I met Eric Zahn and Hefe down there in Coconut Grove in Florida. And, but by developing that relationship and those relationships over the years, I always try to put everybody's best foot forward. I have shots that have never seen and will never see the light of day for various reasons. And I do share them with the athletes. I do share them with the athletes, you know, in private. And, you know, I tell them, I go, you know, this is something I would never share. I don't know you that well. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't, you know, what have you, but, you know, there are few, and this is more of like a stuff block, you know, type of shot where, you know, that's nothing. I mean, that's part of the game. If you can't handle a photo of you getting stuffed, then I'm sorry, you probably got other challenging issues, because that's part of the game. Welcome to the club. It's happened to me plenty of times. Yeah. But there's actually images that I didn't feel comfortable sharing. There was a period of time where I got feedback over my Instagram channels of, you know, the shots that I was taking, which I thought were athletic movements by these athletes. That's what I saw. It was just these incredible athletic movements. And some thought that it was a little too risque, maybe. And I told them, I said, well, I'll ask the players to wear jeans next time. You know, like, how are we looking at that? And we're missing what is actually happening in the photo, which is like many people could never do something like that. But yeah, my goal always is to put everyone's best foot forward. And there are comedic shots too that are just funny and silly, what have you. But I've had players over the years, privately on social media or in private, you know, passing by just chatting, and they'll say, really appreciate what you do for the sport.
Yeah.
That's the gasoline right there. Yeah. Cause yeah, again, I haven't been.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was just going to say, there's not a ton of money in volleyball. There's just not. I'm actually in negotiation right now for a team down in Florida for some coverage at the NCAA beach season, which I really wasn't going to do anything because I'm preparing for what's happening this summer. But I already know going in that I will not get my regular rate, but that's okay. And I like the Sony job was what doing that is what afforded me to be able to go do that, you know, that separate income. And then I had to become a little bit more selective when I went out freelancing, because that was time that I could be, you know, making money elsewhere, what have you though. So, but hearing that from the athletes, is special. It's really cool to hear.
I have to believe that the athletes from time to time will ask you for some of your work. And because if you're publishing for one of the media sites or a magazine or whatever it is, you get 3-4 shots in there, and that's a lot, you know. But there's an athlete that wants to look at 100 shots of themselves. So they have to ask you for that stuff. Right. I mean, that's where the relationships build.
Yeah. And it's gotten to the point, and here's a little pro tip for people who want to know, how do I grow my social media? Leverage relationships, establish and leverage relationships. You know, shooting these major events with high profile athletes, Olympians, if you will, Maria Fey in Australia, Taliqua, April, Alex, you know, when I would shoot these events, I would post, and then they would reach out asking, hey, I love that shot. Could I post it? I'll give you credit. That's how it grows. And it's a great relationship, because that was my goal all the time. I never charged. Ask any athlete, I never charged for images, because I felt we were helping each other. And my goal was always to help the sport, help the player, you know, whether you're an Olympian, whether you're just starting out, to just help your brand. Just, you know, it's a nice thing to do, basically. You know, leveraging that as, and now a lot of the athletes, they already know that come these events, I'll send them a link and be like, I'll ping you when the images are ready, and they'll just go into the cloud and grab and pull them down. So we've established that sort of relationship where they're like, oh, I am excited to, that's what it gets me excited about going to shoot, is because I know that they're waiting for something. And if I can make them happy, if I can make them smile, whatever, if I can make them look good, that's a win. So, and you know, there's still opportunity, and I love it. And I'm looking forward to, like I said, what's happening later this summer. I got some plans in place too. I'm really excited.
I was going to say, after the summer, you're going to be able to accurately say, we'll always have Paris. Tell us about how you're getting prepared to shoot the Olympics. What are you thinking about?
I'm reaching out to past or some friends from photographers who I follow who have experience shooting Olympics to get some tips, etc. This is not even really photography related, but this is health related because of photography, I'm experiencing these health issues. But I have some incredibly uncomfortable tennis elbow because the very thing that I'm passionate about and that I get paid to do for a living is what's exasperating or just perpetuating the issue. So that in my lower back, because if you've ever seen me shooting, I get into these really, you know, crazy positions. People have actually shown me photos of me doing that.
That one right there.
Yeah, like if you sit like that for a long period of time, eventually your back's gonna start bumping
hurt.
At you.
Yeah, it's gonna.
A lot of my preparation, truthfully, is physical. Is you know, mental, physical, emotional. So I'm getting. I have such motivation to be the best version of me going to the games. I'm turning 50 in April 28th. And
geezer.
It's crazy. Yes. Yeah. And so there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be
boys.
you know, so there's a lot of things that are motivating me. So really what I'm preparing for again is just physically, mentally, and then in terms of the photography, I'm like a tiger in a cage, just so, and I have to not think about it because those emotions can really get me fired up. And I'm like, it's January, like chill.
Yeah.
But as I get closer, you know, probably start dialing stuff in with, and what I'm doing basically also is I'm going to be, I'm starting to have discussions with brands. Different federations as well too, that I established relationships back at the VNL men's and women's world tour stops, because they are looking for, so they're looking for content. So this is where I will be able to make a decent amount of money, you know, outside of what, you know, USA will be investing when they get images from me as well too. So I'm just kind of laying the groundwork now, but really my focus right now is the physical side of things, is getting my aches controlled as best as possible, which it's physical therapy, which is the most exciting thing to do. I was doing it this morning. I'm like, this is so much fun. There is nothing else I'd rather be doing right now than just doing this for 10 times and, you know, whatever. But I also know I have to do it. I have to do it because I know what my back is going to be saying to me at the end of each day, my pain, and I don't really want to take ibuprofen. So that's really my focus right now. And then as I get closer, really start, you know, dialing in the relationships with the brands. Next month, I'm scheduled to fly out to LA to shoot the USAV Beach media team, or media day, I should say. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'm setting up some shoots with a handful of athletes that we're going to work on some content for their socials, et cetera. And yeah, it's crazy.
The pro tip here is...
Have you been to Paris
is,
before?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. You go.
The pro tip here is you need a good orthopedic guy, you need a good physical therapist, and you need a good chiropractor if you're going to be in this sport, even if you're photographing it.
Yes, but... The pro tip I would say to myself and anybody who's in their 20s, who a lot of these photographers reach out to me, the pro tip is stretch.
Ah.
Stretch, stretch, stretch. Forget about bench. It's not going to matter if you can bench 350 six times. It's not going to matter if you can curl. Stretch. Flexibility is what's going to, just remember that 10, 15 years down the road, if you do that, you're going to thank me. And that would be my pro tip. Is flexibility. Just keep stretching. I tell myself if I'm going to camp out in front of the TV and watch TV for 2 hours, I have to stretch during commercials. That is my commitment to my back. Paris. Yes. Paris. I went to the Elite 16 2 years ago, with Mark Rigney. And, that was a great time. I'm very grateful that I went because now I understand sort of the layout. I'll be staying in West Paris right near the Expo. Which is interesting because the beach events are going to be at the Eiffel Tower, which is going to be incredible. And then the indoor events are going to be at the Paris Expo, which on per Google, it's a 28 minute walk. Walking for 28 minutes, July in Paris. Oh, woe is me. Of course I'll do that. But
yeah, I feel terrible. I've already, for you. That's awful.
I've already located like where the bicycle rentals are. I'm partnering with some camera company, some bags. So we're working out some things that we can do for socials. But I had initially requested my hotel to be as close to the Eiffel Tower as possible. I ended up a 4 minute walk to the expo, which that's okay. Because yeah, those matches will be a lot easier and those will be the last matches because the finals for volleyball for indoor are Sunday, the finals for beach are Saturday. So it works out either way. And, so yeah, understanding. And I need to work on my French. Cause when I was there, I was like, I don't know what anybody's saying. Like, I cannot. It was kind of like being when I was in Germany. I'm like, I have no idea what anybody's saying. Like, I have zero idea. So I'll try to maybe brush up a little bit in French. But I'll also be, you know, I'm with Team USA, their media team, which is really cool because, you know, having access as the team photographer is really, really, I can't wait to have the talk, the download, the expectations, the needs, etc. So yeah, Paris, already familiar. I already booked my flight. I already got my lodging. Like I said, it's just focus on the now, do it well, and then dial in, you know, closer to May, June, etc.
And you have to be, you alluded to this before, you have to be paying a lot of attention and doing your research on the players. Like you have to know more than just the US players. You got to know everybody. You great could question, play anyone, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And, but I will say though, that understanding the positions, having played the positions, cause I used to play with the women's team during high school, the women's coach, Mrs. Kuss, my senior year, our women's girls volleyball varsity team was ranked number one in the nation with Mother McCauley and Tampa Prep. And I remember she used to stagger her practices. She used to stagger her practices 4 to 6. Our practices were 3 to 5. So eighth period, you run down to the gym, you get in, we play weight trips, we just practice. So come 5 o'clock, I would just walk down to their court and she would say, hey, we're playing Mother McCauley. They've got a big right side, so I need you to be big. You're telling me an 18-year-old kid who loves to play, who has friends on the girls team, I get to stuff them? Sweet. Thank you very much. But sometimes she would say, I just need you to set you. Oh, 100%. So I played middle. I played all the positions, you know, girls net. But it doesn't matter if it's girls net. You just adjust for the height. But the mechanics, you know, the 31, you know, a C, you know, all these different things. I know that. So it's really more understanding tendencies of each player, not so much the position itself. And I have great dialogue with a lot of these athletes. I was just chatting with one of the girls from Turkey who they won the gold this past last summer because she's playing over, I think, in Japan. But it's great because I still learn because the game has evolved, obviously, but understanding the positions and then the tendencies of each individual is what helps me really be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that would be the hard part for me. I mean, I love to watch, but remembering, you know, who is all who would be hard. So I like your perspective on that is knowing, all right, here's what you have to do in this position is it sounds like it's a better way of going about it. Do you shoot for the U.S. or do you get to shoot everybody or is it just U.S. matches or how does that work?
Great question. My obligation there is to the U.S. Once I meet those obligations though, you know, and I'll understand fully what those obligations are. But it's really probably my guess would be is just content. Like let's say Matt Anderson's just having a fire night. You know, he's just, you know, nobody's stopping him. They're probably going to message me and say, hey, can we get a little more focus? That's what the FIVB did in Texas and in Ottawa is when a player was starting to get hot, they would message me saying, hey, we need you to focus on here because we're writing a story on this, which that's something you don't really learn. Like I tell a lot of aspiring photographers is shooting the sport when you don't have real anything definite or like, you know, urgent to do. That experience shooting the FIVB was humbling, because as skilled as I've become, getting stuff, they needed images yesterday. And so trying to manage deadlines, real tight deadlines, but also maintaining the level of quality, not just what they expect, but what I expect of myself, that was something I had to learn. And so it's not going to be like that in Paris, though, because I'm just shooting for one team, not the event. But I'm going to decide how many other clients I want to bring on board, because I also don't want to if USA is doing something over here and I've committed to this team, I'd rather go do this than this. So I'm going to have to really think about that and juggle what commitments I want to make, because I'm also in Paris too during the Olympics. So I'd also probably like to hang out and, maybe check out the Olympic Village and just all this kind of stuff. But if I've committed to three or four teams and they're playing, next thing I know, I'm just shooting the entire time.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, is some of the background. I mean, we'll get to see a lot of what's going on TV, but I can't wait to see some of your, here's where we are, we're at this place or that place, and here's the athletes just being themselves,
Great point, because what I'm going to be doing, and I don't know if this is like for in closing, but my Instagram subscription, I'm developing a plan, an option, nothing you have to commit to, but I generally, when I'm at an event, I'll video and then I'll post it to my stories like, hey, I'm here at the regional final in Wisconsin. Well, I'm going to make that a part of my subscriptions. So you're going to be able to watch the Olympics on NBC, whatever they deem to show you. And once that event's over, you're off to, swimming or whatever. It's they got strict timelines. I'm going to be getting access beyond that. And leading into the stadium, basically, as they say, BTS of not just the Olympics, but Team USA. So I'm going to be in dialogue right now with a bunch of athletes, and we're working on different things. So I'm going to be offering that, and obviously for a fee. But it's going to be roughly 18 days of behind the scenes, that content that you'd never, ever get to see, because again, NBC decides what exactly, you get to see based on what they're able to show you, et cetera. So that's
just
my
think
plan.
About what you're going to learn. It's going to be awesome. Right.
Yes. I'm very excited. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see also, so I'm a tech geek, which means that I try stuff, but I'm not great with most of it. But I do have an Apple Vision Pro on order, and Woo! The 360, the panoramic views of those kinds of events are going to be really interesting shots. There you go.
360. I got one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those are going to be great.
I'm going to be working on it. That's probably what I'll be doing between now, is becoming fluent with this gear. I don't do a lot of this stuff, but if I'm going to be offering stuff, I want to offer different perspectives. And the 360s are super fun, because they do. My buddy he's out in Utah right now, and his snowboarding with his 360 was such an epic view. And to be able to do that at the games while I'm there. Yeah. And I'm a tech guy too. I'm probably spend too much time. I have a lot of things in my wish list in Amazon.
I'll bet. Hey, quick question. You mentioned you played in New York in high school. Where in New York?
Buffalo. I went to Sweet Home High School. Then I went to UB, and like I guess I played at Eden Volleyball Club. And really cool, though. Some of the players I played with, my buddy Jeff Christ, he went out to Long Beach State. He went to Ball State, and then he moved out to Long Beach, and had a great as an opposite. He was my favorite opposite. He was that 6'6", lanky. His target, I could just throw it up and just detonate. His son is now 6'10", 6'11", but he can ball. And he's been here twice for the juniors, JVA and the national qualifiers. I've gotten to shoot his son. So the guy I played with traveled an hour to Lakeshore to go practice, because that's where our practices were, in that big 3-speed 77 Bronco truck that got like 4 miles to the gallon. I get to shoot his son. And his son is in the development program. And if I get to shoot LA 28 and then 32, I think he has a shot for 32, if not definitely 36, because he's not, you know, he used to go into those gyms, and if it was a tall guy, I used to be like, he can either ball or he's just tall, you know, because they're growing into their body. No, this kid, legit, like, plays basketball. And so it's just really cool to be able to now capture and document the kids of people that I used to play with in this sport. Like I said, if it wasn't for photography, really, I wouldn't have left corporate. I would have stayed and probably been not happy. I would have stayed because it was what everybody does. It's safe. It's benefits. It's good money. It's comfortable. But I, you know, and here I am now. I'm now a photographer. I get to capture some great, you know, moments. I also shoot weddings. I shoot corporate events, and I love delivering images where people can then say, and they send me the emojis of like the crying or the hearts or whatever. That's like I said, the payoff, where the other job, I was just working my butt off to get that bonus, which was like, you know, a percentage of what I just made the company, you know, like I just made 2 million for the company, but I get like, you know, this little splash. So right. I'm just grateful. Yeah. After taxes, especially. I'm just grateful for the opportunities that I've had. And, you know, for me, with every shoot that I go into, it's bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series. It's that or nothing, 100%. And now you're telling me that I get an opportunity to go on the world's biggest stage to compete with myself. And the next, remember how I said each time was a different, I never thought, and I always thought every time I got, you know, from AVP to FIVB, I'm like, wow, I get this opportunity. And that would fuel me to say, okay, I'm going to go do this. Now you're telling me I get to go shoot the Olympics. You got to be kidding.
You know, we need to have you back after that's over, because the recounting of that will be just awesome.
Yes. And I'd be happy to, I'd be happy to come share, you know, expand on some of the stuff that happened and the little backstories, et cetera. And I'd like to think that I'm setting the table for LA 2028. That's my goal. So right now I want to, you know, really hit it out of the park. That's my focus right now. It's not, I'm shooting Paris, but I'm trying to establish, you know, for all the years to come.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm looking forward to LA. I want to go back. Last time I was at the Olympics was Atlanta in 96. So I'm really looking forward to it. Missed a couple opportunities, probably should have gone, but 28, I'm really looking forward to. So I'm in your same, I'm in your same boat. Maybe we'll catch up there.
Yeah, maybe we will. Like I said, but it's what I do now. It's preparing. My preparation now is what's going to, I think, allow me to then solidify, you know, 28 and then 32. And, you know, that's why I'm working with brands right now, to establish relationships with these brands. So then I'm in their Rolodex come, you know, because a lot of these athletes are very likely going to be playing in 32. So I've thought about this. I've had a lot of time to think about this because, you know, the games are still a few months away. But ultimately, though, I'm just super grateful that I get to be, to get to do what I love, you know, and paid for it. So I don't have really many plans to travel outside of going to Paris because I have to save my PTO hours.
Right.
You know, so I'm very limited in where I can go. So there'll be no AVPs. Unfortunately, there are no FIVBs, no VNLs between now and Paris. And then even after that, I'm starting over at zero because I'm going to basically use everything to cover my time at Paris. Yeah, and that's just corporate, and that's fine because I'm excited to go back to my work when I get back and tell all my colleagues, like, and they're super excited for me. They are cheering me on. And then, you know, after that, I like the fact that the next World Championships is in Australia, and I talked to my contact there. And I'm like, if you guys need somebody to go, because I was supposed to cover Mexico, I was supposed to cover Montreal, Anaheim, Edmonton, and then World Champs in Mexico. But because I accepted the job, that all fell off the plate. The only thing I could negotiate was the women's final in Arlington, Texas, which was great. But, you know, I had to let go of everything else. So I'm, you know, I basically said, if you guys need somebody for Australia, like, I will so go. And, but then that'll also, like, if they say yes, then yeah. I mean, if I get to see the world with photography through my camera, sign me up. I'd love to. So
that's pretty cool. We're a little beyond our hour here, Steve. So I'm going to say thanks to Michael for coming on. Really appreciate it. And then we'll let Steve, you can take us out of here.
Yeah, well, Michael, I left you a quick note in the interview chat, a little site you may want to take a look at. I've been following the CES show, and there's some interesting translator kind of stuff available for, and if you don't see that, we'll get to that, but it might be an interesting tool for you for Paris and the French connection. It's been great. You know, it's a shame we didn't connect when I used to live in Chicago, but it's great to connect with Chicago, and I grew up in Central New York, so not too far from your Buffalo. I was a Syracuse guy, but
West Seneca, we got to get that in. West Seneca, West Seneca West, Brett Widman out there, Matt Anderson's coach. We mentioned
we definitely
him
have had our share from Western New York, so. It's been great to hear the story. I'm looking forward to hearing more and seeing more. I'll check you out on Instagram, and our folks who are watching here may want to do that. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, you may want to go back and take a little look at the video version of this on YouTube, so you can see some of the images that Michael's put together. But it's been great visiting with you.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Listen, I really appreciate it. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be corporate sales, whatever, and I get to be here because of this. It's crazy. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to following up next time when I get back from the Olympics, after I decompress a little bit, because that's going to be.
Yeah, I think so.
18 days. Woo! But it's going to be great. So adrenaline's a great support. Great help.
You better store up.
Yeah, he'll be sleeping for a week afterwards. Okay.
At least. Thank you very much, though, again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can catch other episodes of our Talking Volleyball podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or Google, or watch us live or recorded on the Coach Steve YouTube channel.